we praise the Lord in all things at all times. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come and give Him praise for who He is, for what He's done, in an energetic, glad environment. We lift up our praises to Him, and we're supposed to do it all the time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Whenever you feel like praising the Lord, you do it. There's never a wrong time.
Are you looking for meaning or a word from God that's relevant to your life? Are you searching for a better understanding of who God is? Well, you're in the right place. You found the Gary Talks About God podcast. This is a weekly podcast that comes to you from the pulpit of Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church in Germantown, North Carolina. The podcast is hosted by Red Bank Senior Pastor Gary Sanders. Now let's get ready to take that walk through God's Word with our pastor, teacher, and friend. Hey, he's that guy we call Gary.
The Psalter is where we're going to be as we study together. And as I have said, I wanted today to be a moment of celebration for us. I figured if on the first Sunday back, if we jump back into Genesis, you might revolt and run out the doors. But I do plan on finishing Genesis sometime. Maybe that's what I should do. I'll just leave Genesis hanging out there, and you keep thinking, well, we can't get rid of him. He's got this last five sermons of Genesis to finish, and I can just stay here indefinitely until those sermons are finished, whenever that will be in the future. But I wanted today to be a day of praise and celebration, because we haven't been together for 13 Sundays. That's unreal. That's a quarter of a year we have not been together to worship the Lord. I know that you know this, but none of us thought that come January 1 that would happen this year. You know, we thought we'd miss a few Sundays. Y'all probably missed more Sundays of church this year than some of you missed in your entire life, which is a good thing. Y'all have been faithful all those many years. But we're back together, and I want to remind us the priority of praise and have we come to worship the Lord, and went to Psalm 150 because it's a fitting psalm for today, but it's also a great way that God orchestrated and collected the psalms to end with this psalm. It is a psalm of praise to the Lord. Remember a couple Wednesdays ago, we looked at Psalm 1, and it reminded us of the blessed man, right? The man who finds delight in the law of the Lord, the one who is focused on God and everything that God is doing. And so that is how the Psalter begins, and then it gets to the end, and it's almost like you can hear that blessed man from Psalm 1 singing Psalm 150. How he's understood what the psalmist meant, and he's lived his life praising the Lord. And so we come to Psalm 150, and it's just six verses, but it's full of so much theology and informs us so much about how to praise the Lord. This is what it says. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This morning we're going to examine this. And as we do, since we've been gone for so long, I was so excited about this. I've got 17 points, 8 illustrations, 3 poems, and a song. You go get your money's worth this morning. No, I'm kidding. I do have 6 points, though. See, now the 6 doesn't sound so bad. If I just went right to 6, y'all would have thought, oh my goodness, 6 points? But this is what we're going to do. And we're going to walk down. We're going to walk through this. And if you got your journals, please take notes. And I've kind of put the notes up on a little bit different on the format so that you can follow along and have more time to jot them down. But here's what I want you to notice. Number one, we are instructed to praise the Lord. This is how it starts. It starts with a command. That word, praise, it's not a suggestion. It's not, you know, it's not maybe we ought to do this. It is a command. You know how when you send text today and you don't really know if you should be, if what you're saying is correct, or you're asking kind of a, it's kind of that quasi-command question, you'll put a word and put a question mark behind it. You know, like, I think that's the answer, but I'm not really sure. This isn't it. This isn't praise, question mark, well, if you want to, or if you don't want to. This is just a straight command to praise. I mean, after all, when you look at this psalm, it is six verses long. That's all. But the word praise is contained in it 13 times. 13 times. I think when you read that, you get the idea that the psalmist wants us to praise. He wants us to have an attitude of praise. He wants us, and we're going to see, to be vocal in our praise, active in our praise. We are to praise this morning. Have you ever asked, though, when you come to this, I love when sometimes you look at the words and you look at what they mean in the original languages, it gives you a great picture. This isn't one like I shared a couple weeks ago where I did the study on the tree of Psalm 1 and it just became a tree. The word praise in the Old Testament literally means to kneel before. The word praise in the New Testament means to say a good word. It's actually where we get our word eulogy from, right? Eulogy at funerals, you say a good word at the funeral about the person who had died. I like taking those two words and put on two definitions and put them together, and you get a great illustration of what praise is. Praise is to say good words as you kneel before something. So that's what we're doing. We're kneeling before, and we're saying good things, and we're going to look at it more deeply, but about the Lord. That's what we're to do this morning. Now, I know that we can't, in the context of church worship, you can't get on your knees right there in the pew. It would be a little bit difficult. But it means a heart attitude as well. Are we kneeling before Him in our hearts? Are we humbling ourselves before Him to come and worship Him? And make no mistake of it, praise is not limited. Praise is not limited to one thing. It's not limited to just one aspect. We praise through song. We praise through Scripture. We praise through Bible study. We praise through prayer. We praise just by being silent sometimes before the Lord. But there's the command to come and praise Him. We are instructed to praise. Then we are told the object of our praise. The Lord is the object of our praise. This is who we should be worshiping. And every time I keep saying this, and I hope by now that you understand that when you read the word Lord, you've got to look at the typeset. Because Lord, you know, lowercase means something very different than Lord, all uppercase. As we are doing this, it says, praise the Lord, all uppercase. And you know that that means Yahweh, that is his personal covenantal name of the Lord. Why that name? Why not praise God? You know, I know that's how we refer. Why did the psalmist choose that name? Well, you should know that. Because it's his covenantal name. It's the name that he's revealed himself to us. It's the name through him, through which we are saved. It's the name that he gave to Moses at the burning bush. It is the one that says, this is my personal name, and now that you know my personal name, you can enter into a relationship with me. This is something that's very different in our culture today, but we used to understand this a long time ago, right? Years ago, if you met me, I was Mr. Sanders. Until we came to a point where we were knew each other enough where I became Gary. Right now we've done away with that pretty much, right? You're pretty much, as soon as you meet somebody for the first time, you're on a first name basis. But that's kind of an American thing, right? Many other cultures, you don't do that. That would be so disrespectful upon meeting somebody for the first time to call them by their first name. I did that in Russia, and I was quietly taken aside and kind of put in my place. It was very nice and it was very gracious, But we had a lady that worked in our office. Her name was Vera Danilova. And I made the mistake one day. She was an older lady, and I made the mistake one day of just calling her Vera. And I was kind of pulled aside, and I was like, know that you're American. That's not how you address her. I was like, okay, sorry. Didn't make that mistake again because it was rude. However, here in this context of the psalm, we're told that we praise the covenantal personal name of the Lord, the name that He has given to us, so that we praise Him. We're not praising some aloof, far-off God who is above us, who can't be known. We're praising Yahweh, who has revealed Himself to us from Genesis 1 all the way to the end in Revelation. That is who we are commanded to praise. That is our object of our praise. And that is the correct direction of our praise as well. Right? We live in a culture and a society that rings with praise, but a lot of times it's misguided. Now, that doesn't mean we can't say good things about things. That doesn't mean that things can't be good and we encourage. I'm not saying that. But we go overboard, right? Here's a quote from C.S. Lewis. I've kind of been on a C.S. Lewis reading kick lately, which is, you can always tell who I'm reading because I tend to quote them a lot. So if you're, oh, Gary's reading so-and-so because he keeps quoting them. It's been C.S. Lewis for the past couple months. He has a word, a quote about praise, talking about praise in this world. He says, "The world rings with praise. Lovers praise their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars." The point that he is making in that is, sometimes we think praise is too difficult, but when we look in our lives, we find that we heap a lot of praise on people or things, and maybe there are some praiseworthy things, but our ultimate praise should be directed towards Yahweh, not to them. So he's drawing a comparison to how we praise the Lord and go, all right, how are you doing that? How does it look? If we were to compare how you're praising your favorite actor with how you're praising Yahweh, who would they say was your Lord? That was the whole point of his quote. To get us to direct our praise to the covenantal Lord, for that is the direct and the correct object of our praise. And the psalmist draws our attention to that. Praise the Lord. But then thirdly, we're told that we are to praise the Lord both locally and universally. He says, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. And so there's this two aspects of it. A limited, if you would, and an unlimited, or a local and a universal aspect of the praise. The limited aspect is in His sanctuary. For the Old Testament, every person who read that would have understood that they were directing the reader of the psalm to the temple. In the Old Testament, the temple was the specific location designated exclusively for the worship of the Lord. It wasn't that they couldn't do it at the house. It wasn't that they couldn't do it outside. But the correct place, the right place to praise the Lord was in His temple. That's where they went. When the feast, it's time to celebrate the feast, they went to the temple. When it was time for the sacrifices, they went to the temple. When it was time for the reading of God's Word, they went to the temple. When it was time to sing prayer, they went to the temple. Everything focused and went to the temple. For that is where they were supposed to worship God, and that is where His presence was revealed to them. Now, remember, He was in the Holy of Holies, back behind the curtain. So they went to where the presence of God was to worship Him. And it was the temple. We talked about this on Wednesday night. God designed us and His people and calling us in that relationship to worship communally. for us today, it's not the temple, it is the church. It is a local gathering of believers for us to come together in His sanctuary, in His church, and worship Him together this morning. That's why it's important for us to get together. That's why it's important for us to sing together, so that we can praise Him in His house. But then at the same time, it says that it's unlimited, that He is praised in the mighty heavens. Praise God is not just limited to these four walls. It's not. There are other churches this morning who are gathering, who are worshiping and praising the Lord too. And basically what is happening is, as we lift our voices in praise from here, and Stanleyville lift their voices, and Germantown lift their voices, and Mountain View lift their voices, and all the churches around lift their voices, there's like a universal praise going up to the heavens this morning, where the angels and God Himself hears our prayers. Here's our praise. Here's our songs. Here's our voices lifted up to Him. This morning, like it or not, as we sung, "Let's just praise the Lord," your voices echoed through heaven to the Lord to hear His people worshiping Him. Isn't that an amazing thought? Your voices are not just limited by these four walls. While somebody on the other side might not be able to hear us, this morning God in His throne and all the universe heard you lifting your voice in praise to the Lord. So we're told that. But then we're told why we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord, it says, for His actions and for His perfections. And this, again, directs us to the why of praise. And we have two. And the first one, it says, praise Him for His mighty deeds. Those are His actions. Right? We can go all the way back to creation. We praise Him for creation. We praise Him for creating me, for creating you. We praise Him for what He has done, for how He has entered into the covenants with His people. We praise Him for when we read the stories of the Bible where He delivered His people out from the hands of the oppressors. We praise Him for His deeds and calling Abraham to start His people through Him to bless the world. We thank Him that He sent, and one of His deeds was sending Jesus to come and live on this earth, and the deeds of Christ as He went through teaching and healing and directing people, saying, repent, for the kingdom of hand is at God at hand. We thank Him for that. We thank Him for the action of Jesus going to the cross to die on the cross for our sins. We thank Him for the action that He holds us in our hands, in His hands, and never lets us go. You read the Bible and you see all the deeds that God has done, and we get to the end and we see some of the deeds that God is going to do. And we praise Him for that. And as we praise Him for those actions, it's more than just that God did something. It's the fact, again, it goes back to His name, the covenantal name of the Lord intervened in His creation and revealed Himself to us through what He did. And that is something to praise Him for. But it says we also praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Those would be His characteristics, or you know, I like to use the term perfections. That's not mine. I always got to give my seminary professor credit for that. I didn't come up with that. For every characteristic of God is perfect. And so we look through the Bible, and we see all these perfections. His sovereignty, right? We look at all those omni words, right? His omniscience, meaning everywhere. His omniscience or omnipresence being everywhere, His omniscience, all-knowing, His omnipotence, all-powerful. We look at His righteousness. We praise Him for His grace. We praise Him for His mercy. Has God been merciful to you this week? We praise Him for that. We praise Him for His faithfulness. Did God leave you or forsake you this week? No, He didn't. We praise Him for His goodness. I think sometimes we overlook that, right? God doesn't necessarily have to be good, but He is a good God. And we praise Him for His goodness. How about His holiness? Have you praised Him for His holiness like the angels and sung, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty"? We praise Him for His constancy, that He never changes. The God that we worshiped 14 weeks ago is the same God that we worship and praise this morning. Yahweh was the same then. He is the same now. He will be the same forever and ever. And that is just a small sampling. The list could go on and on and on. But this is why we're told to praise Him, because of what He has done, His actions, and who He is, His perfections. But then we're told how to praise Him. We're told to praise Him with gladness. And this may, for Baptists, be the most frightening few verses in the entire Bible. For it tells us to praise Him with instruments and dance. We're Baptists. We don't dance. We don't dance, right? But you read this psalm and you see, man, we are to praise Him with gladness. And it directs us. You read this. Now let me ask you a question. If you were somewhere and there was a trumpet, a lute, a harp, a tambourine, somebody dancing, and with loud clashing cymbals, if we ever have a full orchestra, I get the loud clashing cymbals. I might can do that. I just got to hit them at the end, just that one time. But if that's the case, do you think that this worship, that this praise of Yahweh would be quiet? I mean, this is an illustration of loud praise, of a joyous praise. And when we read through this, we need to understand how important it was for the people to praise the Lord. Right? Trumpets. Trumpets were instrumental in praising the Lord. Trumpets were what were used to call people to assembly to come and worship Him. When the ark arrived in Jerusalem, trumpets were blown. The Day of Atonement started with the trumpet being blown. Right? They would praise Him using other musical instruments. They would dance before God, not in an uncontrollable, frenetic dance that we see today. But it really meant, and you see this, you can still see this in sometimes, watch Fiddler on the Roof. That's a good one if you wanted to see what he's talking about, and you would see it's punctuated. It looks like a lot of skipping, to be honest with you. But it is. It's a lot of skipping, a lot of hopping, a lot of jumping for joy before the Lord. Right? David danced before the Lord when the ark was coming back in. Women would dance before the Lord to celebrate God's provision at harvest time or when military victories before God. And they would leap before the Lord. So we come here and we see this and think, all right, we are instructed then. And again, it's not uncontrolled, it's not frenetic, it's not chaotic. But with noise and musical instruments, praise the Lord. Every musical instrument that's been created can be used in the praise of God. We can dance before the Lord. It's perfectly acceptable to worship Him that way. Because we come and we worship in gladness. Our worship should always be glad. We really shouldn't leave church on a Sunday feeling sad or down. Maybe we can leave, you know, being confronted by our sins, yes, convicted by them, yes, and I know that's not something that we usually, you know, like to yay God about. However, when we leave the church on Sunday mornings, we should leave because it has been good, it has been a glad, it has been a joyous, festive atmosphere to worship the Lord. And so we worship Him with gladness. But then finally, we praise the Lord in all things at all times. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And he repeats it again, praise the Lord. You and I are the ones who are supposed to be ascribing glory and praise to God. His created beings. That is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come and give Him praise for who He is, for what He's done, in an energetic, glad environment. We lift up our praises to Him, and we're supposed to do it all the time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Whenever you feel like praising the Lord, you do it. There's never a wrong time. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, right? Rejoice always, giving thanks in all circumstances. There's never a wrong time to bring praise and lift up your praise to God. Now, I know you might read that and think that's a little bit overwhelming, right? I can't do that all the time, or sometimes when our day is bad. Right? I had a stressy day Friday. I had a stressy day. This is how bad my day was Friday. You know those little crushed red pepper flakes you put on pizza and stuff? We were having spaghetti Friday night. And I like sprinkling a little crushed red pepper flakes on my spaghetti. One of those things flew into my eyes. I don't know how. And I wear contacts. I have never run to the back bedroom to get to the bathroom so quick. That just kind of sums up my day. And you have days like that. I have days like that. And you go, how in the world, in this circumstance, do we praise the Lord? And I thought about that because I knew I was going to preach this Sunday. I was like, after I got out of the bathroom, got my contact out, I was like, I got nothing, God. I'm not really sure on this one. How do I do it? Like, okay, it could have been worse. It could have been both eyes. I don't know. Right? Because we have those days. And we have this command of all the time and gladness. And I know sometimes it feels a little overwhelming. And so this morning, I want to end with this. How do we praise the Lord? Why are we told to praise the Lord this way? Why is it important? Well, here's the thing. Us praise the Lord, there's really two things. One is because we're directed to and we're supposed to praise God. Praise the Lord. That's what Psalm 150 is about. But also, praise is given for us. Have you ever thought and understood that praise is actually given to us? For when we come to the Lord and we praise Him, and we praise Him for who He is and for what He has done, you know what that does? It puts us in that attitude of submission where we are kneeling before the Lord. And when we put ourselves in that position, it allows God to open up His blessings and pour them out on us. It puts us in a posture that we are ready to receive the blessings from the Lord. When we praise Him, it reminds us that God is in control. Right? I mean, right now, the past few weeks, the past few months, I think one of the ways the church has gotten through all this is that we have continued to praise the Lord and to remind ourselves that He is in control, because otherwise it really doesn't look like He is. But He is. That COVID-19 virus is not a rogue virus that God is not in control of. He is in control of the world. He still is. So when we come and we praise God, it changes our focus. So we're not focusing on this upside down world, but we're focused, right, as we saw in Ecclesiastes, to the one who is beyond the sun, who is over the world. And we enjoy the Lord more when we praise Him. Our love deepens for Him. It reduces our stress. It reduces our fears. I always hesitate to use the word impossible, but I'm going to in this case. It is impossible to praise the Lord and allow fear in your life at that same time. When you're praising the Lord, the fear is not there because your focus is on Him. So the psalmist ends and the psalter ends by giving us this praise to God and instructing us, but in instructing us, it reveals to us the why as well. Why it is important for us to praise the Lord. That's why we come and praise Him. I want to finish with this quote.
You've been listening to the Gary Talks About God podcast.
God and shine a light.
Are you looking for a church? Well, Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church is a community of believers who exists to glorify God and see transformed lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We tell of His goodness.
You can find us on the web at www.redbankmbc.com. Also, come visit us on Sunday at 8104 Red Bank Road in Germantown, North Carolina. Did you like this podcast? We put one out each and every week, so don't forget to subscribe. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we thank you for listening.
Are you spending it praising God? spending it praising Jesus? Are you spending it in time of lifting your voice up to Him? Because the psalmist calls us to do just that.